Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Finn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, NGK Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome to a Need to Know podcast. This is episode 216. We're flying through them, and my co-pilot on the journey is Mr. Brenton Johnson. Welcome back.
Oh, it's good to be back, Robert.
We've upped the schedule a bit here because we do want to get some good information out on the telephony connectivity component in Teams. We're going to be talking with Switch Connect about this. I think this is really a high value proposition for a lot of people listening who are looking to integrate Teams with voice capability. And I personally see this as yet another huge opportunity in the Microsoft Office 365 Teams environment. I mean, what's your take on this connectivity with voice into these IT services, Brenton?
Oh, look, I think what we've been trying to do over the last few years is say that email isn't the be-all and end-all of communication. I think there was a push there to digitize everything, and part of that was, oh, let's just email everyone everything, and now we're realizing that wasn't the smartest idea. So we're going, okay, well, use email, but then use phones, then use instant messaging, and then use WhatsApp, and use whatever, Kazalas and whatever, right? And people are going, oh, it's too hard. And then Teams come along. And the value proposition of Teams is about centralizing your communication. So in the past, you were stuck with email, a single channel communication device that would sit on your screen all day. People would do their task management out of it. They'd use it for file storage. They pretty much everything that people were using Outlook for that they shouldn't have been is now being built into Teams. So you have that single app experience, and then there's parts of it that it doesn't really do yet, or out of the box, right? So telephony is one of them. And if you're already, you know, doing voice meeting, you know, video meetings with your coworkers and all of that sort of thing, and you want to connect with people who don't have Teams, this is the missing link at the moment. So Teams is the best communication tool you can have internally, in my opinion, as far as like being able to work together. It works really well for a lot of organizations, but as soon as you want to leave the tenant and start working with someone else, that requires a little bit more effort than what it probably should. Whereas if you just had a phone number in there, you could just dial it and ring it. How easy would that be? Does that sound pretty on the mark there, Robert?
I think so. I think, unfortunately, the unique thing about Australia has been there's been confusion in the market because we are locked into a Telstra-only agreement with the pure cloud connectivity with voice, and that has been very confusing. Why is that? We've had this before with BPOS and then Office 365, and why can't we get third-party providers? But we're now seeing this breakout into third-party providers, and this, again, is why we've got Switch Connect to come on and to talk about it, what their options are, and the opportunity that's there. We think that I would suggest we're on this cusp of it changing. So for those of you who can remember their history back in the days, Telstra had the exclusive lock on it as a distributor for Office 365, and that did change, and that opened up the market dramatically. I think we're getting to that point now quickly as well. So I think that's why we want to get the information out to people and get them at least thinking about connecting the telephony into Teams. I've got it connected into my tenant. Works fantastic, make calls. It's so convenient, for example, to go to a device that is just Wi-Fi connected and be able to make a call out directly to receive calls, to see your call history, to bring people in to meetings and things like that. It really is fantastic, and it's another way to eliminate the traditional desktop phone. The soft phone client allows you to use it from any device, as we've mentioned. So again, I think this integration is another indication of how things are coming together in the Microsoft 365 space. And I think the other big thing is it represents a huge opportunity for IT providers to step up and really give a comprehensive communication solution for customers and also make some coin on the side. So there are some challenges, but I think there'll be opportunities for those who are fast movers. And because we're fast movers here on the podcast, we've decided to make sure that we bring you this episode as quickly as possible. So that's the aim, to get it to you. And I think Brenton would agree with me that, again, this is a big opportunity that people shouldn't be, you know, get behind on, because, again, it's really going to make a huge difference, I think, especially in the SMB market. Is that a fair statement, would you say, Brenton?
Yeah, I think so. I think big companies have big budgets to go around and just do whatever the hell they like with technology, because the economies of scale are there, you know. Yes, sometimes they get it wrong, et cetera, but, you know, if you're talking about putting in an infrastructure for 1,000 people, you generally have enough budget to get everything that you want. When you're under 1,000 people, often you're making a lot of trade-offs and what you can afford, what do we really need, those sorts of things. So if there's a product out there that can help solve those problems for us at a really attractive price point, that's really, that's my whole core business, really, is going around saying, you know, and this used to cost $50,000, you know, a seam, it used to cost $100,000, this level of, you know, solution just 5 years ago in Office 365, you know, on-prem was tens and thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now we can provide it to you at $20 a month, $30 a month, you know. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. So that's, I think that's the key value proposition of the MSP, making sure that we're able to give customers those business technologies. They don't have to settle with Google Voice or whatever, you know, consumer voice platform. We can provide them with a proper business solution that integrates into the tools that they use every day. That's a gold standard, isn't it, Robert?
Yeah, look, I think that's the thing. We're seeing this integration. This is the role. IT is becoming the dominant player, and the integration is very important. And as people are becoming more mobile, you really don't want to have a, you know, a number locked to a desk phone. You want to be able to move around with that, give you flexibility, have call routing, have all this good thing that we can do basically by software and a portal. And again, that's one of the main calls to action, I think, for teams, you know, beyond just the collaboration thing. I think once you bring in this telephony and you expand it to, you know, meeting rooms, you extend it to special devices that you can have automatic, you know, dial into meetings and conference calls and all of this sort of stuff, this unified concept, we're certainly getting closer to. And again, the great thing is with all of this is that it's now available to the SMB as well, where, as you mentioned, typically it would only be enterprises that would set up large environments and have all these complex trunks and all this sort of stuff set up. And it's getting to that point now where you just need a Microsoft 365 subscription and obviously the connectivity to the voice through, you know, something like Switch Connect or whatever. And again, you're going to get that ability. And that's really, really powerful and allows the business to, again, play with the big boys. So again, that's why we want to make sure that that information gets set out to everybody with this interview. So not so much on the updates, but more on prepping people and hopefully driving a bit of interest. Now, before we do throw to our interview here, I do have one point of note here, a bit of an anniversary. I don't know if you can guess what the anniversary is, Brenton, but it's about this time of the year that the Need to Know podcast celebrates its birthday, its anniversary. Now, would you like to guess, young Brenton, when the very first episode of the Need to Know podcast was?
Can you give me 10 seconds to Google it?
To go and look it up? No, just take a peek. Just, you know, let's
put it. I'll take a guess. Maybe a guess. I reckon the 20th of the 9th, 2009.
Very close. You're out by a year, basically. So what happened was episode one was the 25th of August 2010. So the Need to Know podcast, again, has now reached a 9-year run. So hopefully we're into our 10th year now, and we'll be celebrating our 10th year birthday next time. So I'm sure you were still in diapers when the Need to Know podcast went live for the first time. So
it's actually not that far from the truth. I would have been about 21, I reckon.
Well, there you go. Some, I wouldn't have liked to admit that I was wearing diapers still when I was 21, but fine. Whatever you need to say publicly that's on record forever is up to you. So
it might be again, last year of the CIA Need to Know podcast, I think.
So
I'll shut it down.
just as a thank you to all the listeners, everybody who does listen to the episodes regularly, if you want to go back and see how badly an episode was, go back to episode one. I think episode two was actually probably the worst audio I've ever done in my life and pushed it out. So again, if you want a bit of a laugh, go back. But I think over time there have been some good evergreen podcasts in there as well. So again, we're now up to episode 216 and hopefully moving right along to episode 300, which we may cross probably about this time next year if things pan out, but we'll have to wait and see. But I thought I'd just take a moment, again, thank everybody, thank co-hosts past and present for their participation in the podcast, and again, looking to continue on strong into the 10th year. So again, with that said, I think it's probably time that we get into our interview. What do you say, Brenton?
Just before we do, I'm going to ask you, do you have any favourite podcasts from over the years?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is probably not down to podcasts. It's more about the guests. So some regular guests have been Mark O'Shea, Jeff Alexander from Microsoft. Again, there have been a lot of regulars. I mean, always fun to do podcasts with Mark Keane as well. So that was always a bit of a comedy act as well, but there have been some really good ones. I'd have to sit down and look at them all through time, but I think the ones that are probably a bit more business focused or a bit more obviously on things that I enjoy, like SharePoint, connectivity, those sort of things. But when I look at the full range of stuff that's there, there's been quite a variety, from SharePoint to, like I said, security, Troy Hunt's ones. We've done a couple. They were really good. I really enjoyed, you know, speaking to Troy and getting his approach and again, his thoughts on that. So again, we've interviewed some real stars, I think, and got their thoughts and hopefully broadcast that to our audience. And we hopefully will continue to do that as well. And I think we've got an interview with which Brenton organised as well coming up shortly after this one. So again, if you do want to see particular content or particular people, make sure that you do contact us to make that happen. So yeah, I can't really put my finger on an exact one of favourites, but I would suggest that again, some of the guests that do support the podcast regularly are the ones that I really, again, am most appreciative of.
Yeah, I'm certainly a big Mark O'Shea fan. I quite like the way he sort of presents the information. It's in a way that's quite technically deep, but also quite accessible as well. So, you know, he's able to sort of take it out to that really high level, but dive into the details when he has to. He can answer the questions. He knows what he's talking about. So, yeah, it's a really like that. I like the one last week. I like the one we did with Korch. I like the one with Microsoft 365 Business Head, Ashanka, or whatever her name was. That was really good. So, you know, just sort of going, you know, why is Microsoft doing a Microsoft 365 business product? And it's like, well, we're making all these decisions based on what you're telling us that SMBs need, rather than just discount a whole bunch of enterprise-y stuff and make the product complicated. We want to make it really relevant to what you need. And if you want it to make it more relevant, please tell us what you want. So those are just opportunities you just don't get on other podcasts that I listen to anyway. A lot of the podcasts I listen to don't have those sorts of interviews with those key people. So it's more credit to Robert on bringing those people in than me. He's definitely the man to find the right people at Microsoft. But yeah, like it's been awesome being a part of it over the last nearly 2 years in, Robert.
Yeah, I think so. I think I ran across your initial episode, and we will talk about that and look at the anniversary. But again, I don't want to spend too much time now. We want to make sure we get into the episode, get this out for people. But again, we'll talk more about the anniversary. But I thought otherwise I'll forget it, being the old fuddy-duddy person that I am now, that memory's going. So again, thanks everybody for listening. Stay tuned. It's going to continue to improve. And again, why don't we get into our interview on Switch Connect. So I'm joined by Rowan Milne from, where are you from, Rowan? Oh, you're from Switch Connect, that's right. I'm with the program now. So rather than me bumble through it and continue to bumble through it, I might get Rowan to introduce himself and let all the listeners know who he is and what he does.
Thanks, Rob, for having us along. So as Rob said, I'm the global CEO of Switch Connect. We are a channel-based telecommunications provider, especially helping with MSPs and telcos and IT companies really bring offerings and build out their solution catalog to customers by adding telephony where they might have been traditional IT companies. And now that voice is merging in with the rise of Microsoft Teams and cloud-based collaborations, we come in and deliver that product offering for them and then help them with the expertise and in how to take that and grow their business and grow that extra recurring revenue stream for their business.
Excellent. Well, we've asked Rowan to come on and speak about the telephony side of Microsoft 365 around Teams. Now, we do need to have a couple of caveats here. The first caveat is that we are probably going to be talking more about the Australian experience here, which, again, is a little bit unique when it comes to the Microsoft Cloud offering. So please keep that in mind. But a lot of it obviously will be relevant, but there are some specific nuances in the Australian market versus the international market. So, Rowan, why don't you lead us off and sort of let us know what's the state of play in the telephony market here in Australia if we want to start connecting into Office 365, Microsoft 365 and Teams?
Yeah, I think if we start off with the nuances of the Australian market, and then we'll cover off on some of the, we actually do work with partners globally also, so we can touch base on that, but I think primarily we kick off with the Australians as little nuances, and then we can kick through. So with the, we would have all seen the announcements this week with, last week, end of last week, Microsoft coming out with the end of support for Skype for Business. So in 2 years' time, they're bringing out the end of support for Skype for Business. And it's really Microsoft migrating. They kind of cobbled together previous voice strategy into pushing Teams through as their preferred voice offering moving forward. But if we take that aside and look at where the market's actually heading, so if we look at a bit of the history through the telco market, and this is not only Australia but globally, we've kind of gone from the old traditional PBX on site. We then moved to the UCaaS arrangement, UC as a service, where everyone's talking about collaborating. So we want chat, video calls, unified comms, cloud-based telephony. We then had VAS, which is video as a service. So that was the rage of like life-size WebEx. People wanted to stop traveling and have video conferences and see that face-to-face again. And now we're really coming into the kind of the evolution of that, which is the whole communication platform as a service. So how do we take all that UCaaS, VCaaS, call centers, contact centers, how do we roll that all into a single platform and then integrate that into every business function we deal with? So it's not just talking about, hey, I've got this standalone client over here, which I can chat to people and everything, but it's only an internal business tool. How do I use this to communicate with other businesses we deal with? So business to business, business to consumer, and then how do we aggregate all those different communication methods into one tool? And that's really where Microsoft is kind of winning the market with Microsoft Teams. As we know, especially in Australia, it's probably more prevalent. I'd probably say 80% of customers use Office 365 in some form within their business. Primarily, it could just be email. They're using it for Office 365 for email, their Microsoft Office subscription. And then more and more people are now, as kind of on-premise servers are disappearing in that SMB, mid-market and large enterprise. There's the massive cloud drive. As people start to move data to SharePoint, OneDrive, Dropbox, all those cloud management tools, it's then going, hey, we've got all these different tools, but how do we bring it back into one tool to make our life easier? And that's really where I think Microsoft has really hit the spot with Microsoft Teams, is that not only from an internal collaboration, you can deliver a huge amount of productivity boost for businesses, but also to the ability of communicating with external customers and clients in how you can actually drive that moving forward. That's kind of the evolution of it, is pushing to the cloud. Now that Microsoft pushes it out for free with every single Office installation, it's kind of whoever you're talking to always has that client involved, rather than WebEx and all these other clients. You've then got to make sure they've got the right client and everything installed. And then really adding voice to it is just that next thing. Having the phone on the desk is just, everyone's out and about and becoming that mobile workforce now. that the need to have be fixed to the desk to use the office phone. Everyone wants that mobile now. And we're really seeing the rise of the mobile phones becoming the enterprise handset now. There's no handsets on desks. Desks are becoming like hot desk type environments where people come and go. And there's just a headset there. And the mobile phone is becoming that handset for the enterprise. So that's really the snapshot where we see in Australia. On the global market, we're starting to see more of a trend towards that. Obviously, it seems to be in Australia, we're a lot further down that digital transformation journey. But we're definitely seeing through the Asian and European and also the US markets that's starting to drive further forward. And then as we specifically come to Teams, as in Australia, the nuances is obviously when Microsoft ever brings out a new Microsoft technology in Australia, they always do an exclusive deal with Telstra first, being our large national carrier. And that was the same around Teams calling. When it first came out with the Skype for Business, when they migrated to Teams, they then brought out a product called Direct Routing, which allowed other carriers to deliver that voice connectivity directly through to you, to Office 365 tenants without having to have on-premise equipment. We can use all our multi-redundant infrastructure we already have to connect those tenants. And then so that kind of opened up the market to a bunch of other providers. So at Switch Connect, we got on the Teams bandwagon very, very early when it first came out. I think it was like September or so last year. We jumped on very, very early. We're one of the first providers in Australia to come out with a commercial offering in that space. And then obviously that's just grown from there. And then a lot of the effort we've done is then worked with our partners as they work in special niches, whether it's education, healthcare, or SMB space, in wrapping the value-added services around that they need to help their customers migrate to Teams. By far, Teams isn't the best telephony product out there. Realistically, it delivers all the features most businesses actually use. There's a couple of little gaps which are always being plugged very, very, very quickly by Microsoft. And really at SwitchNet, what we did is really bring out the offerings to fill those gaps now. So there's no barriers in your customers migrating across to Teams now. And then on a global basis, calling plans, you can buy them directly from Microsoft in about 13 different countries now. The US is one of them. But with a lot of MSPs and carriers, they've already got traditional telco relationships where we actually have a bring your own carriage type offering where we can deliver that interconnectivity through your existing voice offerings to Microsoft Teams. So you can still maintain that existing relationship.
Okay. Can you speak to the delineation between voice being available in the business plans and the enterprise plans? So my understanding is that enterprise plans are your only option, but business plans are currently excluded from the voice connectivity. Is that correct in that assessment?
It is. So with the direct routing offering, you do need to have a E-series license. Now, this is it's a bit convoluted. If you read the Microsoft website, it's very, very convoluted around licensing. And we actually ran a webinar early this week on Monday, actually, which you can see on our SwitchNet YouTube channel, just around demystifying the licensing component. So the current certified deployment for Microsoft Teams is on an E-Series license. So with your E-Series 1 and 3, there's a bolt-on called phone system. With bolt-on, it gives you that direct routing capability. With your E5 license, it automatically includes it. So if you already got customers running E5, they've already kind of got that phone system license. It's just the PSTN connectivity that you need. And then as we all know, Microsoft is now transferring from Office 365 to Microsoft 365, the new M-Series licensing. So the M-Series basically is kind of a bundled license. So it takes you got M1, 3, and 5, and they kind of mirror image E-Series 1, 3, and 5. So they take that license and then they bundle in a Windows license and things like that. And then if you are selling into the academic space, you've then got A-Series license, which is exactly the same as the E-Series license. It's just at, it's just at a different price point. So there's no difference there. But you do need E-Series. Everyone keeps the million-dollar question at the moment is business premium. When are they going to bring Teams calling to business premium? The official answer for Microsoft is sometime this year, which if you've ever asked Microsoft for a roadmap on Teams, the deadlines are always sometime this year. I can tell you it does work on business premium. We know some partners who roll it out on business premium. It's definitely not a supported rollout model. So if you do have ever have any issues, it probably won't work, but you may have some issues, and if you log a ticket, Microsoft probably won't help you, but it definitely is coming this year. And I think that's really where you'll see the avalanche coming across. But we do see a lot of partners transitioning their customers from a business premium up to that E-Series license, as everyone's focused on security at the moment. And that's where all that security feature set comes in at the E-Series license level.
Okay, so let's say that we have a traditional customer who has an E3, right? So just a fairly standard-ish E3 license without the telephony bolt-on that comes with E5. So that's a very typical license. Yeah. Can you give us a bit of what do we need? What would a partner need to do to get the telephony added on to a typical E3 license for a customer?
It's actually quite we've tried to really simplify that process. So you simply go into your normal 365 admin portal where you buy your normal licensing. You'd buy that phone system bolt-on. You'd add that bolt-on to your user in 365. And then you'd need to sign up with a provider like Switch Connect to get that connectivity to the PSDN network or the public phone network. We would send you a configuration guide. So couple of steps are you have to add a new domain to your 365 tenancy, which is a Switch Connect domain, and that's what Direct Routing uses to route the calls through. Then there's about four or five PowerShell commands, which is all part of the guide, which you can literally just cut and paste, and that really brings up your connectivity between your 365 tenancy and our carrier grade platform. And then it's just as simple as assigning phone numbers to your users, which is one line of PowerShell. So a lot of the config is still done by PowerShell. More and more of it's coming to the Microsoft Teams front end interface, but there's still quite a bit of it is still done directly by PowerShell. But if you've done anything with Office 365, that's a fairly common experience. There's still a lot of that settings that done by PowerShell. But we have a simple slide deck that we send you through that's literally just cut and paste commands. We pretty much send it to the partners now and they just step straight through it. So it's a really, really simple process.
Okay, so now that the partner's got it set up, followed your instructions, run a bit of PowerShell, what's the experience like for the end user? They dial up their Teams and they make the call. What's the sort of experience for them when they want to start using all these telephony features? Is there anything they have to do or is it just seamlessly integrated?
It's seamlessly. So the only difference you really see in the Teams client is on your left-hand side where you've got like your chat and Teams and meetings icon. There's another icon that comes up called calls. When you go into that, you'll then get a dial pad. So the only difference you'll notice now, you possibly may have the call button. Microsoft has rolled that out by default now, but you get a few extra options. So one of it will be voicemail. So under that calls icon, you'll now get voicemail with Microsoft Teams, which is kind of a next-gen voicemail as well. So it also does transcribing for you. So when you get a voicemail message, you can click on it, and Microsoft uses their AI technology, and they'll transcribe that message for you as well. So you can not only listen to the message, but you can also see the text transcribing of that. It will email that to you when you get a voicemail also, so you can read it in email, which is quite nice. And then you get a dial pad, like I said, so you can dial. Also then, if you've got contacts in your address book, then you can click on them and dial. You also then get click to dial across websites and things as well by Teams. So when you say you're browsing a website, there's a phone number, you can click on it and have it dial straight out by Teams for you.
So what's the experience like on a mobile device versus, say, the desktop? Is there any noticeable difference between those two platforms?
It is fairly similar. So integrating on the mobile phone is really great. It does full call kit integration on iOS and Android. So when you get a Teams call, your native like dialer will appear and you can answer the call. If you then want to transfer the call and do any of those high level functions, when you're on that call, one of the bottom icons on like an iPhone, it has the Teams icon. You flick that and it'll bring up the Teams client. And then it gives you full enterprise grade functionality around putting the call on hold, transfer calls and things like that. When you make a call natively from your phone, you can go into your address book. I know on the iPhone it does this. I can go in the address book, hold my finger down and go call via the Teams client. Or vice versa, within the Teams client, you can go in and go new call. There is an extra button you've got to hit on the mobile client to make a call to bring up that dial pad. But it is, once you've done it, it is quite a nice interface. And it's constantly changing, becoming more and more user-friendly.
Okay, so those partners out there who want to get on board with your offering, what's the onboarding offer for them? Do they need to have any special qualifications or there's any minimum requirements? What's involved in getting on board and start providing this to the customers?
No. By far not. The only kind of stipulation is we run a couple of different partnership models. It just depends on how much risk really the partner wants to come on. So one thing, especially in the Australian market, telco is a regulated industry. So in order to bill your customers telco-related services, you have to actually be a registered telco. So you've got to be registered with Telecommunication Ombudsman, ComCom Alliance, and a few different government departments. And then you've also got to have a telco-based billing system. So a lot of partners don't have that in place. So what we have is our normal channel program where you sign up with Switch Connect as a channel partner, so there's no minimum commitments or things like that. You can then buy the direct routing product and then roll that out for your customers. And what will happen is when you sign up the customer, they actually get signed up on Switch Connect paperwork. So we become the billing engine. So we take on all that compliance regulation for them. But all the level one and two support kind of flows back through that partner. And we're here to support them. So you support your customer, you maintain that customer ownership. We're just here from a billing perspective, and then obviously there's a commission rebate paid back to you. So that's the normal standard channel partner model. That's what I'd say 80-90% of MSPs and IT companies do, because they don't want to take on that telecommunication risk. We also do have a white label model where you can wholesale buy from it if you've got those systems in place and then sell that to your customer. And then normally on the global market, to talk to some of the global guys, we also have a carrier product where if you've already got your own telco and everything like that, we can deliver you just the Teams integration component, connect that back into your own carriage. And it's kind of a managed service from us to you that you can then create your own bundles and how you wish to take that to market.
Okay, so do you see that the opportunity or the large opportunity is just around obviously reselling the telephony part, just, you know, basically looking at the calls, making adding a margin or getting a commission rebate on that? Or is there sort of a bigger picture here that, again, the partner should be aware of and be focusing?
I think there's a far bigger picture. If we look at our partners who do really well, the Teams calling component that they buy from us is probably 5-10% of the deal. Where a lot of the deals, we're actually in this time and everyone's throwing these topics around digital transformation. And especially in Australia with the ISDN cutoff and also global, as carriers are starting to turn off that copper network and becoming IP based. Now, as we're in such a unique time in history where businesses are forced to make a decision, they can't just keep sweating those old assets now. They need to transform their businesses. And as business models are changing and everything going down the IP route and the mobile workforce, it's now been time to transition. And I think the opportunity where, if you really want to capture this model and where we've seen our partners go from traditional MSPs to magically growing their business by like 200-300% year on year, is becoming a digital transformation practice, basically. Building it into your business is helping your customer rather than just going, hey, we're here to make your IT and break fix type work. And yeah, we do a bit of proactive maintenance to make sure things keep working, but actually becoming part of the business with them and becoming kind of that virtual CIO that they go, hey, this is where we want to take the business. How do we go and take that? How can we utilize Teams, Microsoft Teams, and really the Office 365 stack, what Microsoft has built now with Power BI, Microsoft Flow, Power Apps, Microsoft Forms, integration to SharePoint, OneDrive, all pulling that into one application, you now completely unlock the productivity boost that you can deliver to your customers. And now to really succeed in selling Teams, it's all about the adoption of that across the business. So it's being able to deliver those enablement services, training services, best practices to the customer and helping them transform their business and really seeing the value out of Teams. Like, purely when we look at a prime example of this, I'll give you two stories. Is one is we get a lot of partners that come to us and go, oh, my customers are only buying business premium. They're not going to pay the extra $20 a month to go to enterprise series licensing because, oh, that's just too dear. It's not worth it to them. And then you sit there and go, well, how are you justifying that? And you go, well, their IT spend is going to be more than what they're paying now. So say they're 10 users at $20 a month, that's $200 extra a month, they're not going to go it. But the way they're basing that off is looking at what their current telco spend is and go, well, to upsell that is going to be an extra $200 a month than what they're paying. What they fail to realize is actually the productivity saving and the ROI. If you go through any business, you sit there and go, what's an hour's worth of someone's time worth to a business? Even if you look at the purely lowest common denominator and go, look at the wages. I think we did some calculations for a customer recently and worked out the average hourly wage of somebody is $20. If you go lowest common denominator is $20. So every hour we lose is costing a business $20 to have that person sit in the business and do something. So even if you can rolling out Teams by automating some process or making collaboration better, you can save them an hour a month. The project's paid for itself. And what we're actually seeing is with the rise of Teams and the collaboration and things like that, is that we're actually seeing that increase is roughly 4 to 5 hours per staff member per month. So if you actually then times that out, you're actually saving them about $1,000 a staff member a month. So you're starting to see a lot more cost savings within the business in not only productivity, but other costs that are dragged down throughout the business. So it's becoming a really easy cost saving delivery. And then an example was yesterday, I was down in Sydney with a partner. We went out to see a customer. They were actually a traditional voice customer. And said their first opportunity for Teams. And where it came out is we went and saw the customer and they said, can you come along and help us talk to the customer about Microsoft Teams? Sure, why not? So we went out and their requirement beforehand is they're a multi-league dispersed large franchise or organization. And they go, we've got people everywhere. We want to roll out enterprise-wide chat. We've got a really, really old phone system and we're looking for like a UC platform or something to roll out chat. We're a Microsoft shop. We've looked at Teams. Hey, can we look at doing Teams? So started the conversation with them, fired up a team client, showed them how we use it internal, how you got chat channels. You can file share, commonly work on documents and stuff. And you just really saw the light bulb went on around how much this can revolutionize the way their business works. And then one of the conversations I said is, have you looked at Shifts? And they went, what Shifts? And I don't know if you've seen it yet. Shifts is another Microsoft tool, part of your Office 365 stack for frontline workers. And what it is it's like an old rostering book. Every little cafe has a rostering book and they write everyone's rosters down every week. And then if they want to swap, they come and rewrite it and all that. They've just digitalized that within the Microsoft Teams client. And there's a special frontline worker license that you can get that's got Shifts. It's quite cheap per user. But what it does is you can put it on all your staff members' phone as a frontline worker in say the retail sector, and then it allows a business to communicate them to them in a rich environment. So is there special and promos coming out, things going through the business, they can communicate that out to them via that client, but also they get their rosters in real time. They can swap, apply for leave and things like that. They can also clock in and clock out by that. And that's all natively done in Teams. And that's really where we see in this rise to the collaboration space, we really see Microsoft Teams and Microsoft is going to win that market share. Like you've got a bunch of other providers coming out now, like WebEx Calling, which is Cisco's offering. You've got Zoom Phone, which is Zoom Meetings. They're all trying to catch into this market, but they just don't have the exposure to the automation within an existing customer's business. And it just purely comes down to the fact is every client normally has Teams already installed and already has a license for it. It's just a matter of enabling those features. And as a managed services practice, you sit there and go, that's just where you can become that ultimate trusted advisor and not only deliver project work to grow your business over the next 2 to 5 years, but also drastically deliver solutions to your customers that they're going to love, and it's going to drive efficiencies in their own business and major cost savings to their businesses.
And I also think you need to factor in the reality that these products are going to continue to evolve and improve and have features added. So as you mentioned, Staff Hub has become Shifts now. It's rolled into the Teams. We expect to see more and more stuff roll directly into Teams to give the users that single interface to work with to improve their productivity, the same across all mobile devices. So certainly the opportunity is there. And like you said, I think the big step is once you show a customer and you give them a bit of context, then, like I said, the light bulb goes on. And then when you add in the voice component as well, I think that is the sort of the missing piece we've sort of lacked a bit is, okay, now I've got effectively this one client which will do everything for communications and whatever, as you say. So, again, I would be very, very keen to let people know or to focus on the fact that I think that voice connectivity to especially normal phone lines is sort of that missing piece, and it's a great option that you're providing for partners to be able to hook that in independent of the sort of unique environment we have in Australia. Now, speaking of that unique environment, what's your take on how long it will stay unique? Is this going to be a long-term thing? Is this going to be, you know, something we're going to be encumbered with potentially? How do you see it, you know, rolling out here in our unique Australian market with, in theory, the one provider?
I really see that stronghold of Telstra, I already see it dying now. I don't see it as, there's kind of this exclusivity, but not an exclusivity. Like I will say, like, we're not unique, the only provider out there, being that we were first to market and we've been heavily in this channel market for quite a while. You would see we've got a partnership with Ingram Micro as well. So we're probably one of the larger Teams direct routing voice providers outside of Telstra. And like we still heavily work with Microsoft and a lot of the large end partners as well. But I think it's definitely out there. I don't see that exclusivity. I did hear a rumor the other day, there's only 12 months left on it. But I definitely, in talking to Microsoft and other partners, there's not that view. Like we all got burnt years and years ago when Office 365 first came out and you could only buy by Telstra. I think you'll find this exclusivity was a lot different. The kind of exclusive part that they can do that nobody else can do mainly stems around Skype for Business. So they can actually directly connect voice to Skype for Business without having an on-premise appliance and CCE device, which you had to in Skype for Business. Even with our direct route offering, we can only directly connect to Microsoft Teams, not Skype for Business. But being that Skype for Business is kind of being phased down and Teams is the next evolution of that. And that's one myth too I just want to cover off on here, is that Teams isn't a rehashed version of Skype for Business, if that makes sense. We all know that the history of Skype for Business was the old Communicator, then Office Communicator, then it became Link, and then Microsoft bought Skype and it became Skype for Business. Microsoft Teams was a complete rewrite from the ground up. It wasn't a hoggle together, and it's not attempt to kind of make Link work. It's very much so a complete rewrite from the ground up, and they really saw that needed to change. So Teams is by far a definitely stand up. It is its own infrastructure platform and everything from Microsoft. And it is that strategy, as we all see, Microsoft is phasing out on-premise technology. They'll only deliver cloud soon. And I think once Skype for Business, you see end of life for Exchange Online and things like that start to come in, you'll really see it's a cloud-only discussion. And that's really where we see that change. And I kind of see that exclusivity with Telstra kind of phasing out. And everyone's trying to grab a piece of that collaboration marketplace now. And it's just, if you don't get on the bandwagon now and start educating and talking to your customers, it's more of the case is someone else is. Like, we're speaking to a large telco the other day, and they said none of their customers have ever talked to them about Teams calling. And my response to that would be, I'd be afraid if my customers weren't talking to me. I'd be afraid of who are they talking to.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. There is so much happening, and the customers are looking at these products. They are playing around with them. They are implementing or know people that have implemented them. So, again, they certainly do need that desire, and you do need to be that point of contact and live the dream, because, again, there's so much opportunity out there for someone who is going to offer it to the customer. It's just a matter of time before the customer, again, engages someone to do that, and that really should be the incumbent provider rather than getting a third party in, I would suggest. Now, with the partners that are out there, if they want to get on board with your offering, what you do, the resources, all that sort of stuff, what's the process to get that happening?
Yeah, by far the process is jump on our website. There is click on the partner tab. There is a getting started form there where you can fill in your details, and that will shoot through to our channel management team. And then by far either Craig, our channel manager, will reach out, or myself or someone from the channel management team to really have that discussion, get you on board. One of the other unique things that we do that no one else does in the market is that we brought out a proof of concept product offering. Everyone goes, hey, it sounds really good. I just want to touch and feel it, but I don't want to buy it yet because I want to see how it works. So especially for MSPs, we brought out a proof of concept product. It's a once-off fee, and it's a 2 to 4 week trial where basically we'll provide you some direct indial numbers, some voice channels to connect to your 365 tenant. You can enable it on your own tenant and really see the value in which that delivers to you. And what we see is partners then also resell that product to their customers. And we're seeing it is a massive roll in because that product can be spun up within 72 hours. So we can turn Teams calling on really, really fast for you. Which no one else in the market seems to be able to do. And being that you can give it to your customer, get it in their hands. And I use the mentality of a two-year-old with a Mars bar. If you give your two-year-old child a bite of a Mars bar, all of a sudden they want that whole Mars bar and they absolutely love chocolate. And we're really seeing with Teams is customers are talking about it. They want it as soon as they can touch and feel it. It just alleviates all those fears that they got that, hey, I'm going to go down this road and it's not going to deliver what I want. It's not going to operate how I want it. You can enable it. They can touch and feel it, test it, use it, fall in love with it like the rest of us. And then it's just a seamless migration then to roll that out across the whole business. But you've got those business champions on board because they've already seen the value that it can be to them. So we find that is a really, really successful product offering. And I will say that is we also provide lead back to our partners as well. Being that we're out in the media fairly regularly with NBN Co, Ingram Micro, and a lot of the large end of town providers that we work with, like we're just seeing the amount of people that want Teams in that we get calls at least 5 or 6 a week from end users that call us going, hey, I want Teams. My existing IT partner can't deliver it. Can you sell it to me or can you refer me to a partner who can? So it's definitely a real thing out there. And you sit there and go, well, how bad is it that they run their IT partner and they know nothing about Teams calling? I said, that's just, we kind of see that as a failure of that MSP in going that they don't have a strategy to deal with Microsoft Teams calling.
Yeah, certainly. I think that is a very common thing. And as you say, the demand is going to ramp up more and more and more for various reasons, But at the core of it, I think, is this productivity requirement, this one client to do everything. And more people are gravitating and are using it for their files, are using it for their chat, are using it for their voice communications as well. And there's an opportunity there for someone to go and onboard these clients as well. And the smart operators will look at that and say, well, if I partner with people like Switch Connect, then I can go in and leverage that knowledge into customers who are going to have that latent demand, but have an IT department or provider who is not doing that for them as yet. So again, lots and lots of opportunity to get on board with this. So I think to round things off, if we can, Ryan, if you can maybe just give us a bit of a summary here of I suppose, the elevator pitch as to, you know, what's the real, you know, value proposition for an end user around the adding the voice component, and then the obviously the reason that a partner should be doing this as well.
I think from an end user, if we look at the kind of the main pain points we see in why customers are going down Microsoft Teams. So either it's normally an internal process driven one, but if we look at from a Teams calling and voice perspective, the major key sales triggers is replacing a phone system. So ISDN cutoff, copper cutoff, their old system so old it doesn't support IP, they're forced to make a change. The other one interesting is moving offices and also mergers. We see a lot at the moment. You always see in the news companies are constantly merging and acquiring competitors or like-minded businesses. And what happens is businesses merge and they end up with two separate phone systems. So how do they get everyone to that one platform? Flexible working and mobile workforce is the other big one. Everyone wants to become more mobile. Integrating communications with other applications, where telephony's always kind of been this standalone, but they want to integrate to their CRM, click to dial, presence management, and things like that. And then improving customer contact, because you can sync all your social media feeds and everything all into one tool to communicate with customers. It's really improving that customer contact, but then also taking that to a rich experience, as a lot of people just don't want to talk to their customers now. They want to video call them and things like that. Microsoft Teams gives them the ability to do it. That's really from an end user. That's really where we see those major driving points. And then some of the benefits we see is enabling collaboration, obviously integration, flexibility, work anywhere, improved productivity, and actually a lower total cost of ownership than a traditional phone system, because there's no that hardware maintenance and management, and it can be all managed by a simple to use like the Office 365 admin portal. So it makes that management a lot easier. And then also, obviously, it's in the cloud now, so you've got that disaster recovery business continuity perspective. From a partner's perspective, an MSP, is it's really... You need to have an answer to the digital transformation journey. A lot of partners are looking to how to keep their businesses growing and keeping their revenues up. And traditional managed services where you're supporting servers and infrastructure, that's all going to the cloud, so that revenue's dying. So you need to replace that revenue. And where we see that is it's all around consultancy and really enablement and training and project management to help customers through that journey as they look through digital transformation. Every business now is looking at how they transform, how they do it, whether it's IoT, automation, communication, big data, is all those areas of the business that they're looking for. And I think as you're looking to increase your revenue stream, we all know that the old rule that it's easier to sell an existing customer something new then go and find a new customer. And that's very much the same when it comes to Microsoft Teams. Is all our customers is a perfect fit for Teams. There's no market segment we found that can't be handled with Microsoft Teams. So it's all about enabling that and knowing how to go out, have that conversation, and then also delivering some value back to your customers rather than just being your typical IT company. When something breaks, we're there to fix it. You're actually delivering a business benefit to your clients.
Cool. All right. So what is the best way for someone to get in contact with you if they have any questions? Just go to the website, or is there another mechanism?
Yeah, no, go to the website or give us 1300. More than happy for anyone to reach out directly to me. either hit me up on LinkedIn or directly through our 1300 number. Also, if you are looking for some more information around the offering and capabilities around that, around video conferencing and stuff, definitely jump on our website and then jump to our YouTube channel. We're constantly putting content up there. We run a weekly webinar series, which is also on the news section on our website that you can register for. And we cover off everything from technically how to roll this out, how to deal with different business problems, how to sell it, how to have that digital transformation journey. We're constantly having those discussions, and all that content goes up to our YouTube channel. So it's a great place to touch base and get in information. But yeah, if you want to have a one-on-one chat and really talk about what those next steps are, definitely jump on our website, fill out the contact form, and we'll be in contact, or just give us a call.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll make sure that those links are up there for people in the show notes so that you can refer to that. And again, I certainly encourage you to go and have a look at the product. And I think there is huge opportunity in the telephony area, as well as all the other stuff that Office 365, Microsoft 365 does. But I think telephony does fill that missing piece and represents a huge opportunity for those who jump on it and are going to go to customers and prospects with this offering, which, again, not a lot of people in the market have this encompassing offering and are offering this transformation conversation to improve customers' productivity, as we've talked about today. So again, I'll thank you, Rowan, very much for your time and input and all the information you've shared with us. And again, hopefully, like you said, we will be able to maybe call on you to come back again and have a talk. But we hope that, again, this encourages a lot of people to come on board and, again, explore your product.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.